Christmas morning has come and gone, and we still have Joseph, some strange visitors, and some dreams. And another morning. This morning unfolds a little bit differently. I imagine that after everything that had transpired, Joseph and Mary were a little relieved to see the Magi go. It had been a rather stressful season for them. After all, there'd been the marriage, the pregnancy, traveling, trying to find a place to stay, giving birth in this strange place, the shepherds visiting, first of all. And then you get the Magi, these strange foreigners with some rather peculiar gifts for an infant. Finally, they all leave. They all go home. I imagine they looked at one another, Mary and Joseph, kind of the way we look at our immediate family after all of the wrapping paper has been picked up and the cat has sort of stopped retrieving the pieces they hid under the couch. And the guests have left and you've finished washing all of the extra linens and towels. And you can sort of think, ah, life can get back to normal now. Except for that dream that night. Joseph goes to bed, and as has happened before to him, he has a rather unusual dream. Flee to Egypt. Egypt. Come back to that. He wakes up and wakes Mary up and says, "It's time to pack." Imagine this conversation going something like this in my head, at least. Mary must have said, "Pack? Why? We finally unpacked. We have to leave. We have to go to Egypt." Leave? Egypt? I had a dream. We have to go to Egypt. We're going to Egypt because of a dream? Same reason I married you. Sure, that went really well. I think they got a late start, actually. It's not recorded in the text, but I think they did. Nonetheless, though, they finally get on the same page about why they have to leave and where they're going, and they leave. They go to Egypt. Egypt. Now, if you were God, and you had a only begotten son with this special birth, and after all these great visitors, shepherds included, and you know he's going to be in danger, not sure Egypt was where I would have sent him. Egypt and Israel have sort of a complicated history, after all. Remember how well the last time they went to Egypt worked out? Started out really well. Didn't end so great. Something about being chased across the Red Sea by Pharaoh's army. Yeah, but Egypt. Okay. Because of politics. Let's be really clear on that. It's not a word you're supposed to say. I know. But this is really about politics. It's about fear. It's about power. Remember the great place Jesus was born, the stable with the animals and all of the smells and other things? Jesus was born into humanity. He didn't get a free pass through life. He has to deal with the same things we still have to deal with. Fear, people who worry about how much power they have, political games, something we're all familiar with in this season in Helena, Montana. So legislature parking signs have gone up, I saw on my way home the other night. So he fled to Egypt for most of his childhood, maybe, we think, depending on which scholar you read. But according to Matthew, he fled to Egypt for most of his childhood. I guess the word today would be sort of frenemy. Sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're enemies. Don't really understand this term myself. But not Israel's best friend. He went to hide out. Because of politics. Because he was born into the midst of humanity. This is one of the great questions we ask after Christmas is, does it still matter? We've all done the Christmas creche and the trees have come down and we've started to put away everything we put up for the Christmas season. Because at some point in time you have to wonder, when are we just being lazy by leaving it still up? How does it still matter? It still matters when we remember stories like this. We remember that it's not all the nice, pretty porcelain nativity scenes. We remember that Christ was born into a world actually exactly like ours, where politics impacted your day-to-day life. Where other people's worries and fears and power struggles were matters of great importance because they were going to make it so. When you had to move and change how you lived, sometimes for the only reason that somebody else decided you did. God came to live among us in our imperfect, frequently horrible, often scary world. Didn't write himself a free pass, wasn't raised in the palace where life would be easier. He was born to parents who didn't know much of anything about what they were doing. Who had no political clout, no ability to stand up to the people who were scared and worried about their own position, because the rumor had gone out that the King of the Jews had been born. Jesus came to live with us, as one of us. He didn't get a free pass through life. He had to move. Sure, he really was happy when they had to leave Egypt and all of the friends he had made. He came back to Israel, but not quite Israel, because they still weren't too sure about how the politics were going to play out. Sons sometimes do what their fathers tell them to do, after all. Christmas still matters. The miracle isn't the Christmas tree or the presents or the pretty nativity sets we put up, although all of those are wonderful and good and fun. The miracle isn't even necessarily getting all of your family in one place. Although if you live in my family, that often seems like a miracle. I know other families where that's true. The miracle is imagining Mary and Joseph and Jesus, a family in a stable, worried about how they were going to survive. The miracle is imagining them packing and setting out for Egypt. Worried, just like we worry. The miracle is imagining them coming home and trying to pick what house they would live in, setting up how they would pay the bills and put food on the table, living a life just like ours, except without dishwashers. Glad we have dishwashers now. This, though, is the miracle of Christmas, of God with us, that God would actually choose to be like us, to live a life that was complicated, in danger, wasn't simple, wasn't easy, that it was hard, that it was dangerous, that it was uncertain, just like us. Amen.